You are peering into the mysterious mind of three incredibly stupid mumbo jumbo shits.
Hey!
Because you have visited the Trigames dot
Not
podcast episode 48.
48.
48. 48. 48. 48. 48.
It is Sunday, blackity block block.
What? It is Sunday, June 3rd, 2007. Ethan is not with us today. He had to go to the bathroom or some shit. So I have just the regular two ladies. Al.
Yo, it's all up in here.
Tony.
The Inquisition. Let's begin the Inquisition. Look out, sin. We know you're wishing that we go away. But the Inquisition's here and it's here to stay. Yeah.
What?
The History of the World Part 1. Go see it.
P-H-U-K.
Yeah, actually, I recorded that last night. And I stopped at the Spanish Inquisition.
Spanish! Okay, what are you playing, Al?
I'm playing Ninja Gaiden, can't pass the last boss, so I keep starting from the beginning of the sixth stage. It's really pissing me off.
Wait, clarify. Ninja Gaiden for NES, right?
Not. Yeah, Ninja Gaiden for NES, my bad. I downloaded a virtual console, and I breezed through the first five of six stages like nothing, and then I get to the sixth stage, which is just that over and over and over again. And so usually I can get up to the end in about like 10 minutes, which is, you know, passing three whole stages of just beating the shit out of you and you just having to run.
So, wait, which version of Jakeo you can't get past?
Oh, no, I can't pass the demon.
The demon part?
Yeah, I
the
beat
one
the...
jumping around?
No. The demon that has the head, and you gotta hit the head till it falls off, and then you gotta hit the heart.
Heart! if you can, bank your... what's that twirling sword thing? That spinning sword bullshit?
I can't. You don't understand how much I cannot pass the level without
That's
using
the only
levels.
Way you're going to beat it.
It's nah, I can do it. It's just that, like, I got real close once.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a mistake and stepped in the wrong place. And, like, it throws little spiral things out from the hole in its head.
Oh, yeah.
And I got hit by one of those and I died. And every time you die...
I'm sorry.
Every time you die on the boss, you got to start from all the way in the beginning, 6-1.
Yep. And see the whole cutscene again.
No, you don't have to see the cutscene.
No.
It skips right to the boss.
Here's a tip. If you want to double your sword attack, just press down while you're attacking. And
I know.
Yeah, if you can.
It's kind of difficult with trying to get from point A to point B without getting hit and falling into one of the many pits.
Oh, God.
While trying to avoid the birds and trying to avoid the people who throw the little axes and swords and shit. And then all that while trying to hold down so you can save your jump and slash. I don't know.
Jump and slash. I jump and punch.
I've also been playing Pokemon and stuff like that. But the only thing that's of note right now is Ninja Gaiden.
Articuno Jinx, need a Rita Beedrill.
Wow.
That's messed up. That's from the old song.
I know.
Wow.
That's when I stopped playing it.
Mm-mm.
Burr! Tony, what are you playing?
Okay, so I'm playing the same old boring shit.
Wow.
And then
you haven't moved off of Grand Theft?
Then I went to other boring shit. Well, actually, not boring shit. I pulled out my... Nomad, my Sega Nomad.
Oh, my God.
And I started playing Phantasy Star 2, 3, and 4.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Delicious.
Yes.
Delicious.
Yes. And except for 3. I don't really like 3.
I heard 3 was like the redheaded stepchild.
It seriously is. There's something inherently wrong with that game. I don't really... Is it because they don't show the people actually battling? I don't know. There's something that just doesn't feel right, you know?
Yeah.
It's a great idea, though. You go through through three generations, okay?
Yeah.
Of which, you decide which girl you want to fuck to have offspring, and depending on that fuckitude, you get different children.
Yep. And a different story.
Yeah, different stories, different abilities, and stuff like that. So it was a pretty good idea, except that this. I don't know. It's something. It just doesn't feel like 2 or 4 at all. You know. So, I was playing that, and then bought CNC 3, and I am wildly impressed with this game. Not with the acting, but with this game. Let me tell you something. This acting, oh my God, some of the worst fucking acting. They got Michael Ironsides in there. Anybody know Michael Ironsides? You know that he's from V and all these other movies. He pretty much plays a general. If you saw him in Starship Troopers, his acting is worse here than it was there. Let's see. Someone needs to tell him that acting does not equal walking around, you know, while you talk. That's not acting. Stay still. Say something, you know? So there's that, and that has Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams!
Billy Dee! And enough said there. Yeah, enough said there. But the game, the graphics are amazing. The action is just, it's seamless. The only problem I have with this game is it's tapping out my resources. And I have a fan measure, which measures the temperatures of my computer things. And so far, my processor is reaching above 50 degrees Celsius. My hard drives are going above 50 degrees Celsius. And my computer's ready to tap out. So,
Celsius or Fahrenheit?
No, Celsius. 50 degrees Celsius means, you know...
Pretty high. As much as something. 40s up.
Yeah, because, Celsius is another measuring. And I'm not good with measurements. So,
what's your 5 over 9 plus 32?
What? It's Math Corner with the Antipode scientific calculations.
I gave up at Kelvin. I don't understand that bullshit. I know absolute Kelvin. Zero. But, Kelvin.
What's that measured in?
Huh?
Exactly.
Fractions of Keltos. I don't know.
Keltos? Isn't that a monster in God of War 2?
Keltos. Kratos' long-lost brother.
Keltos.
So that's what I'm playing. And right now I'm trying to find exactly where in that article this guy wrote that he doesn't want to go the route for Grand Theft Auto 4. Of putting new music or new voice acting talents, you know, big music, big acting talent. So once I find that, we'll get into it.
Okay. All right. And what are you playing?
What are you playing?
Moving on. I'm just kidding. I put in Twilight Princess again because I actually haven't been playing any Wii games for a long time. Final Fantasy VI basically monopolized my life, but I'm near the end game of that, so. I'm going to sit on that for a little bit while I level up my characters. I just beat Snowpeak, and I'm not going to tell you guys, for those who don't know, where that comes in the game, but yeah, that's where I am. I beat Snowpeak. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm right there still, from ages and ages ago when I've talked about it, because I haven't touched it.
Right. And I played a little Streets of Rage 2, which is awesome.
Yes.
Grandpa! I'm the more I play it, the more I think that it totally beats the pants off of Final Fight. And I'm not talking about the Super Nintendo version of Final Fight. I'm talking about the arcade version.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I just like it better than Final Fight. Period.
Yeah. It's a much better game. But for many years, I thought he was saying Tango Ba.
We used to think he said dressed up tight.
Dressed up tight! Dressed up tight! I gotta say... Aside from the wrestler, I think Skates is the worst character in our game.
I actually knew one.
I like playing with him a lot, though.
One of my friends could actually beat the game without getting hit with Skates because Skates was so quick.
Oh my goodness!
Like I watched him do it.
What he would do? Just do the flip move all the time?
I don't know. I just remember him beating the crap out of people, and he wasn't getting hit at all. Mm.
You know what's great? what I used to do with that game? Used to put in two handles. Play two players, kill the second player, and then every single board after that would have two main enemies and double the minor enemies.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was a much harder challenge. And I did that on whatever the hardest thing was.
That's kind of like in Double Dragon, except it's the reverse in Double Dragon, where if you... did you ever play Double Dragon 2 where you could actually set the mode to hit your other guy?
Mm-hmm.
So what I would... what I would used to do is cheat and, like, I would set it on two players and set it on... player 2B mode, which means that you can hit your other player.
Right.
Every time you killed your other player, your friend by accident, you got his life. Mm. So at the beginning of the game, I would just kill the first guys and then take away all of the second player's lives.
And that was a major cheat.
Yeah, and then walk through the game like with 7-8 lives. But
that was the only way I could beat it.
Yeah, because freaking Supreme was really hard. But
yeah, let's hear you talk about Double Dragon 2 again.
Yeah, he's gonna fall asleep. And I'm also playing. I'm also
Jesus.
I'm also playing Guitar Hero 2 for Xbox 360 again because I'm trying to perfect all the stuff that I haven't perfected, which is almost impossible because the game's so goddamn hard.
Mm-hmm.
But one of our contributors, Zaps, or a.k.a. Ben Lee, is, you know, like I said 2 weeks prior, is running this league, and I'm being blown away, so I have to redeem myself. So this week, I pretty much, on Friday, I booted up my laptop for work.
Right.
Ran some, because for work, I have to query a database, and those queries take a long time because I'm not in the office. So I'd set up a query and go play Guitar Hero for like half an hour. Come back and see if it finished, run another one, go back and play some more Guitar Hero. So I was basically pounding away at this one song for like 2 hours. So yeah, that was my Friday. And was that a moo?
I think it was.
Yeah, that was my wife coming in. Sometimes she dresses up like a cow and, you know, we played a farmer thing.
Wow, that's wonderful. Utter magic.
You know.
We gotta keep the marriage fuck. Gotta keep the marriage alive somehow. Utter magic.
On to the news real quick. We only have two topics. We're going to talk about one quasi at length because we're kind of late and Al has to go to work, but Tony do the talking. And then the second one is whatever. So, first one, this New York State bill that we're hearing about. Tony, will you indulge us with the pleasantries of legalitude?
Yes. This is a bill that was introduced many, many months ago, generally making it a Class C felony for people in the retail, you know, video game retailers to sell video games with
to underage,
yeah,
right?
Underage children, you know, the ones with MA or whatever. But it's kind of vague in that they could also possibly be arrested for selling T games to kids under 17 because what it generally covers is for rape, dismemberment, physical torture, mutilation, or evisceration of the human body. Now, I don't know how many games, under the MA would feature this, such as, I don't know, Golden Axe, to some extent, Street Fighter II, you know. I mean, anything that shows physical torture.
Right.
What exactly is physical torture? But anyway, the bill is...
Beating somebody up in the corner.
Yeah.
Jesus. You're physically torturing me.
E-Honda, getting Dalsim in the corner with a 100 hand slap. That's torture.
Oh, no, we got to ban Wii games because I'm going to hit you with the Wiimote. Oh.
Why you got to be so physically torturing?
Sensationalism. Oh.
So here it is. The bill is A8696. And if you look it up, you'll see it under the asshole bill.
That's what the A stands for.
So what happens is now the Entertainment Merchants Association, otherwise known as the EMA, is calling this an ill-conceived and unconstitutional act, and that it is impermissibly vague. And I tend to agree with that, because as far as rape goes,
that's specific, but that's only one thing.
Yeah, but still, I mean, like, you know, we've talked about virtual rape. I don't know. The rape in video games is
something
else. Have you
ever
seen a game with that type of thing in it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably not, but I mean, like, it is very... This is not... let's be clear here. This isn't the virtual rape thing. This is totally different. For example, if in an RPG, part of the storyline is someone getting raped. It can happen, and it's very feasible that it would happen.
Uh-huh.
And if you ask me, I would put an M label on a game that featured that in the storyline, but whatever,
see,
you know, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's the problem. What do you not put the MA on? I mean, as far as dismemberment and stuff like that, okay, so that pretty much eliminates Mortal Kombat. You know, but like, what exactly is dismemberment? I mean, if you're cleaving someone with an axe, and they're not showing it graphically and stuff like that.
Well, dismemberment, I don't think that's vague either. That's specifically cutting off someone's members, such as arms, head, legs, penis, you know.
Right, yeah. So
that's
so
not vague.
So you don't play time killers.
Right.
Yeah,
but so. I totally agree with you that a lot of it is vague, which is like what did you say?
Physical torture.
Mutilation.
And evisceration of the human body I could understand, too, but, you know.
Well, think about mutilation, okay? Think about Medal of Honor, okay, where you're fighting Nazis and you pump your entire magazine into an enemy full of lead, right? Is that not mutilating someone? Of course, the game doesn't necessarily show the blood, but that's still like, you know,
the act RTS, you're going to have some sort of mutilation or even physical violence or anything else like that. I mean, like, the difference is, I
nuclear
think
strike.
Yeah, in those games, though, what gives it the MA rating is more the language than the action content. For Medal of Honor, Company of Heroes, for instance, I mean, there's killing going on all the time. But I think the reason why it got an MA is because the word fuck has been used to in an overabundant amount.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know it did that.
That would definitely be.
That definitely,
Yeah, so that's it. But let's just take it this way. I don't know, the ratings of video games, I hope don't end up like the ratings in movies, because I got two very good examples for movies that are like that. If you ever seen Jaws, you'll know that movie is rated PG. And it shows lots of blood. And it shows lots of violence. And it shows dismemberment and mutilation. And it got a PG.
Really?
Yeah. That's Judge insane. Dredd! Judge Dredd, which was a shit-awful fucking movie. Guess what that got? A rated R. And all it is adult language. So are video games going to go down?
Right.
I'll tell you this. I'm just looking at some games that have a lot of killing and stuff. Like, you know, StarCraft, Command & Conquer 3.
Yeah.
They're both T-rated games.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, basically, it's some of it is human-on-human combat, but a lot of the cutscenes and things like that are humans being mutilated and eviscerated by things that are not human.
Uh-huh.
And maybe, you know, I mean, I'm just taking a look here. Do they have it? They don't have it on the determinants, you know, the stuff that makes it T on the StarCraft one, but on Command & Conquer, it's animated blood, mild language, and violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the distinction, and this goes the same way for movies as well, and your Judge Dredd example flabbergasts me, because I don't know why they would have rated that an R.
It's serious!
Let me finish.
Okay, sorry.
But, it's the distinction between comic book violence and, like, true, you know what I mean? Like, there's a distinction between things blowing up and people getting punched in the face, bleeding a little and dying, versus, like, shit from, like, a horror flick, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving.
I think there is a fine line between a lot of people dying in StarCraft and bleeding, and in Command & Conquer and Street Fighter, people beating the crap out of each other, and, let's say, Samurai Showdown, where you split dudes in half, which is awesome, by the way.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's more cartoony. I think that's more cartoony than the others.
Yes, but in visually styled, it's cartoony. But the thought of splitting somebody in half is more serious than just like normal comic book violence. And I know, again, this is just a term I use loosely because I know comic books can get very violent. But I'm saying like Spider-Man killing someone by punching him to death and throwing him off a building, or slicing some dude in half. You know, there is regardless of whether or not it's drawn in a cartoony way or not, it's still the concept of slicing a dude in half.
Right.
And in Samurai Showdown's case, having gold fall out of him, which is even more awesome.
Or stabbing somebody and have big blood splatter come out.
Oh man, I will spend your blood wisely.
Yeah. Is there anything more to say on this game, or should we move on?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, one more thing. Aside for the rating things, just get down to whether it's, you know, is it really going to come down that people are going to be arrested for selling a T game because it does involve one of these things that should give it an MA rating?
Right.
You know,
I honestly think that this is only going to be related to M games, only because T games are supposed to be sold to teens.
No, totally understand. But under this law, if it depicts any of these things, which should technically make it an M game, you can technically be arrested
for selling a T game.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah.
Explain. I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is one thing I need cleared up. Explain Class E felony. What does Class E entail? I heard it was minor, but it still doesn't make it any better. But I'm just curious. What does Class entail?
I forgot the exact classes. Like there's A. There's I think E is the last one. I'm not sure.
Yeah, E is supposed to be the lowest one.
It's been the what?
E is supposed to be the lowest.
Lowest class of felony.
He is. Oh, I thought you said A. I was like,
huh? No.
Yeah, I just killed Matthew.
I think the whole reason why they made this a class E felony is because after that you got a misdemeanor, which is lightly imposed. It has a very low fine, and I think they wanted to go and give this a very, very severe, possible penalty. So that way it, it's an incentive for people to do the right thing. That's right. All I'm saying, but it's stupid. It's dumb.
Right. I agree.
Moving on
to the next news article. The 100th virtual console game will be released, I think, on Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
And what game be that?
Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link Swords.
All right, I'll shut up.
That's a musical portion of the show.
I'm glad they're coming out with that. I know I'm in the minority of the vast pool of game playing people, but I like that game a lot. I mean, for all of its warts, because it did have many warts. I don't know. I just love the combat in that thing, and the freaking Iron Knuckles and yeah.
And that dungeon music.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And
yeah.
Fucking Falcons.
You know, honestly. Although I already have the game and everything, I am happy that this game is on the virtual console because it gives mm-hmm. everyone else to
a chance to
the,
right.
yeah, a chance to play the game without the game losing your save because uh-huh. of yeah. resetting Nintendo's
battery,
and without being able to be confined to having to stop the game if they have to go somewhere. They could suspend it, and if they're stuck in the middle of a dungeon. They don't have to be like, oh, I got to kill myself and save the game right. and start all the way from freaking temple in the middle of the world just to get to this dungeon that's just all the way in the upper right corner.
Right.
So I think that's, a pretty good thing that everyone will get the chance to play this game that is passed over.
Okay.
Any last thoughts, or should we move on to the last news and go through it real quick?
Moving on.
Okay. Last news topic, there's a rumor that Grand Theft Auto 4 may be delayed, and it's not just for developmental purposes, but the analysts actually have an interesting thought about this. So this is from GameSpot. Of course, we do not comment on rumor or speculation, says Rockstar, but whatever. This is what the deal is. Back in March, Take-Two Interactive's board was ousted by a shareholder revolt. Since then, it has been unclear what the company's new directors have in mind for the mighty troubled publisher. The first hard evidence about what Take-Two won't surface for 10 days. That's what, blah, 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 okay. There's all this boring shit that I don't care about.
Okay. Yeah.
Pachter also said, this is, analyst, what's his
famous
name?
Famous analyst Michael Pachter.
Michael Pachter from Wedbush Morgan Securities also set off a forum firestorm by wagering a guess at about one of the year's biggest games. Quote, we believe that it is possible that the company will choose to, quote, throw in the towel, end quote, on its 2007 financial year by shifting the release date for Grand Theft Auto by a few weeks, increasing the losses incurred this year, and improving the company's prospects for fiscal year 08. Interesting. Pachter gave another rationale for the GTA 4 delay, namely that moving it to early November would put more space between it and Halo 3, which is arriving on September 25th. We believe that a two-week delay would provide a reasonable gap between the launch of Halo 3 and the launch of Grand Theft Auto 4 and would actually help sales of both games. Still another scenario in the Woodbush note would have regular edition of, okay, blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know. I guess from a release list standpoint, what he says is, it makes sense. I mean, I remember this glut of games. When did Metroid Prime 2 come out? 04 or 05?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right when, the week of Halo 2.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was Halo 2. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, mm-hmm. Metroid Prime 2, and a whole bunch of other games like NBA Street and then Black and then, all these games that people were excited about came out on the same week or mm-hmm. the same 2 weeks and then one of the casualties of that actually was Metroid Prime 2.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But
it was like a street fight, guns and knives and shit.
Yeah, and so I mean it's probably smarter for Take-Two to be like, you know what? Everyone's going to go to the store and buy Halo 3. Their allowance is going to be depleted. Let's wait.
Okay.
Because everybody's going to go to the store and buy Grand Theft Auto 4. Actually, you know what? That's kind of contentious because I don't know what the ratio of Grand Theft Auto fans there are to Halo fans, but I'm pretty sure that would be a massive Neo versus Agent Smith type fight if that were to happen.
Where GTA is Agent Smith?
Yeah, like a big explosion of stuff.
Oh, you'd be sitting at work, everything's chilling, and then like once then, the store like, opens, you see boom,
shockwave just crosses right over.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean that would be smart for them to just kind of separate it out, and it would help both companies if they did that. And then the second thing about the financial year, I don't know how much Take-Two really is going to consider this financial thing, but it makes sense, I guess, from an analytical standpoint. I just don't know how much they're going to consider it. But any last words, or should we move on to the bag of shit?
I just want to say one thing. honestly, think that a 2-week gap, an extra 2-week gap, isn't really going to be that big if GTA is supposed to come out in October and Halo 3 is supposed to come out September 25th. I think that the people who are going to get it are going to get it, and then they're going to get their next paycheck and get GTA 4.
Right, right.
That's just what I think, and I think that the delay, I mean, it's there's a lot of, you know, stuff that is feasible in right. there, like, you know, the whole increasing the prospects and, you know, taking the losses and whatnot.
Right.
But I think that they'd be fine where they are. Right. Shouldn't be afraid of Halo 3.
We are at the bag of brown feces. Let's move this one really quick because we have a lot of mailbag stuff to get to. So 60 seconds for each. Tony, what's your bag of shit game?
Oh, bag of shit. Oh, wow. Put me on the spot.
Okay, fine. I'll let you rest in.
No. Okay, I'll do it. I got one. I actually had a dozen, but I just thought this week under the spotlight is The Adventures of Viability on the Nintendo.
Oh.
I know I caught a lot of Nintendo games, but that's because out of, you know, their library of 700,000 games,
a lot of
they've
ones.
Had
yeah.
like 500,000
yeah.
bad ones.
Yeah.
And this was no exception. Adventures of Viability featured a side-scrolling beat-em-up in the worst animation possible and very cheap fucking enemy AI.
Right.
Then it featured driving, which sucked more balls than Viability should suck. And then it featured a light gun version of the game, which was so inaccurate it encouraged you to play with the handle. Yeah, wow, this game rocked. Not only was it so hard because it was so cheap, okay, but paying $50 for this game, which I did for my birthday, made me cry. I actually did cry because I can't believe I wasted my birthday money on this bullshit. You know, and I have Nintendo Power Magazine to thank for that because
it did a whole spread on that, didn't it?
Yeah. And it was like a favorable spread.
Wow.
Okay, so this goes into my fucking thing about, you know, responsible journalism.
Which Nintendo Power wasn't back in the day.
Yeah.
It was not.
Made me buy this piece of shit fucking game so that I could pretty much see some crappy fucking Crocodile Dundee ripoff, do some bad acting and fucking bad moves. I hated this fucking game.
9, 8. Okay, you're done?
I hated this game.
Al, what's your bag of shit?
By the way, I got a few seconds
Five,
left. I hated this game.
4. Al, what's your game?
I hated
Al,
this fucking
Tony,
game.
Al, what's your game?
I'm going to dip into the LJN basket one more
oh,
time.
Oh. Don't say Back of the Future, please.
Huh? No, I'm not.
No, basketball, he said.
No, basket. Wow. I'm going to dip into the LJN
basket.
Oh, basket.
Yeah. Is it Jaws this time?
No, although I could use that one too. I'm going to go with Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That wasn't that bad.
Uh-oh.
No, wait.
Debates.
Here goes my point of contention is,
sure.
If you happen to not have seen the movie, or if you happen to be blind, deaf, mute, dumb, or if you don't live in the same
and pussy is your middle name,
if you don't happen to live in the same region that movie was released in, and you happen to get this game, also if you've rented this game and they didn't come with a manual, you won't get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just like NFL, you're unable to pick a play without the manual or know what play you're picking. With Who Framed Roger Rabbit, they just stick you right in front of this freaking building and they want you to just play the game as if you've seen a fucking movie. Who's supposed to know that you're supposed to go inside? I mean, okay, you go inside, you search around, you poke around and shit. And then who's supposed to know you're supposed to go to, like, the club at a certain time? You got to find Jessica Rabbit, and then you get the number, and then you use the rose to get the number and stuff.
10 seconds.
You get the number, you put it somewhere else.
9,
and then you go into
8,
Cartoon City
7,
and shit, and then you fight
6,
the last boss, and it,
5,
you can't even beat the fucking
4,
last boss.
Yeah.
3,
you stand there, charge up the
two,
punch, and you hit him, and it does nothing.
1.
Hate this game.
Okay.
I had just have to add one thing to that. If you did not own anything with Turbo, you could not play this game either.
That's very true.
Because in order to charge up your punch, you got to keep on pressing the B button with all your muscle.
You know what?
And that just ain't gonna happen.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like my bag of shit game, which is Dick Tracy for the NES. Okay, enough said. I don't think I need to go into that. Dick Tracy.
God, I think you should.
You know,
no, because I pushed a lot of that out of my mind.
Wait.
Because it was so bad.
Wait.
I'm sure
wait.
In a recess of your mind you remember something that could give us an example of how bad it
was. No.
Wait, before you continue.
The game is aimless. That's all I remember. It was just aimless, and I was so glad that I had rented it and didn't own it.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to talk anymore about it because time's running slow. Time's running thin.
Breathless Mahoney.
My only experience with that game is looking at a Nintendo Power, and I was like, I'm not going to play this game.
All right, let's...
I think I played it for all of 1 second.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Yeah. It was the shooting scene.
I think it's a draw this week. Let's move on. We are skipping a main topic this week because we have so much lovely reader mail, but first I gotta address a comment by McDove. Last time, I think it was our anniversary episode, we kind of gave him a little shit for saying games aren't art. He actually responded back and said that was misconstrued. Here's what he said. Okay, guys, in response to your criticisms about games aren't art, first of all, I do believe that games are art, no doubt. I do take what I'm studying seriously and are always looking for innovating and to create something that has a lasting impression, whether it be through mechanic, narrative, or graphics.
Mm-hmm.
What I was trying to aim at and definitely didn't get across correctly was that when these franchises release new titles over and over, most of the time we tend to lose the appreciation on the previous ones. That doesn't happen all the time, and I'm sure you'll point to some examples. Okay, so that makes sense. That's what he's trying to say. I think he just mistyped. So, McDove, we are dumb, and we will kick ourselves in the butt. Okay, and here's a question from Riven. The subject is, did I miss it? And you did, because I unfortunately forgot to specify that we were recording the Alex Navarro podcast on Saturday and not Sunday.
We did it to him again.
I probably missed the cast recording by now, which sucks, but I didn't really have a good question for him anyways. I did want to say hi to him, though, as he named me Nut Job of the Week on GameSpot the last week of 2005 for having a tattoo of the Our Colony ant on the back of my neck. That's from Halo or something. Mm-hmm. Which I took to mean I was officially the nut job of the year for 2005. Okay, so here's his question. Does Alex feel that some people only use game journalism as an easy foot-in-the-door entrance? Does it make him offended? I think he kind of answered that, for some people, they just happen to land there because they love games so much that they happen to start writing about them, but that's not their ultimate goal. So I'm pretty sure that that's the case, that they do use it as a foot-in-the-door thing. I think I kind of implied that in one of my questions to him, but...
But for him, it is not.
Yeah, for him, right. It's not. Here's from Edgy Buccaneer, who, again, sorry, buddy, you missed it. My fault again. On the last episode, you guys and the other guys talked about the constant evolution of gaming consoles. My question is regarding the same subject, dwelling a bit deeper. Do you think that consoles get offed too early? We got God of War 1 and 2, Dragon Quest 8, Okami, and other beautiful game near the end of the PS2's run. Couldn't they have kept it around and made games of the same level of technical quality as the ones that I mentioned? Consider the current crop of games of the Wii and the PS3, mostly remakes of older games already released on the past generation with hardly any meaningful enhancements whatsoever, besides what people will call gimmicks, and I'll paste this in the chat window for you guys to read. You'd think that they would make consoles last longer. I mean, okay, let's take the PS2 as a specific example. Mm-hmm. The PS2 is still alive and kicking. It is 2007 that came out, what, 2000?
It came out in 2000.
Like 7 years is a pretty decent lifespan for this console, and I got to put the foot in my mouth and eat some crow, because when Sony was like, oh, we're envisioning the PS2 for a 10-year life cycle and the PS3 for a 10-year life cycle, I laughed. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. I was freaking wrong, because the PS2 is in year 7, all right? Guitar Hero Rock the 80s is coming out in like a couple of months or even a couple of weeks. All right? I'm sure there's going to be like one or two more smash hits coming for the next year or two. All right, they still had good. I haven't played them, but I'll assume that they were good RPGs coming out near the end of its life cycle. So that thing is still going. But as far as the other things, I think it's just a matter of losing money and competition. I mean, GameCube was dead, unfortunately. And Xbox was, that was losing them money hand over fist. And there's a financial reason and a manufacturing reason for that, because they didn't own the contracts to the manufacturing parts. So basically when NVIDIA said, you know what, we're going to stop making this part for the Xbox, Microsoft said, shit. Mm-hmm. And they had no choice but to move on. So that's the reasons why they kill consoles off are for business reasons. But I agree. Like, as a from a consumer standpoint, I could play PS2, Xbox, and GameCube games for, like, another 5 years. I really could, in terms of technical quality. I don't know about you guys. What do you guys think?
Well, I could definitely use some more PS2. You know, because PS2 is cool and stuff. and, you know, they got cool stuff like Guitar Hero, which, you know, hasn't gone the way of like a lot of Nintendo peripherals, like the e-reader and the GameCube, Game Boy Advance cable, and, you know, things that are under-supported. I think that Guitar Hero and the guitar is rather highly supported, and now it's got 3 titles going on 4.
Right.
You know, the Guitar Hero 3 is coming off at PS2, which odds are I probably wind up getting that instead of paying money for another guitar to get the Wii one.
Right.
Unless there's something special.
Online play.
I'm not really interested in the online play because I'm more into the playing with someone in the same place type of thing. That camaraderie of, like, doing co-op and having fun with that. You know, only because I'm in a band and I can't play with my band members online. That would be the ultimate weirdness.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be nice if, especially, like, for something like the Wii, if we... I don't know if it's modular or whatnot, where possibly they could give an enhancement, maybe a software update, a firmware update, that would actually make it perform better. I highly doubt that it would be that much of an improvement, but if that could increase its life cycle and have people be able to develop it and all that other good stuff, I think that would be great.
Right, right.
I don't agree with that, only because nobody wants another add-on for it.
Well, no, I don't mean an He's add-on not talking device. About add-on.
Right. Like an enhancement.
A downloadable firmware or something, I'm assuming you mean.
Oh. Yeah, firmware update.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, for example, they have a PS3 firmware update that allows Home or something like that. You know, these are things that can be upgradable via software, so I'm thinking that you could probably make the Wii expandable or more efficient via software.
Right, right.
Me, personally, I think, I could have stayed with my consoles that I have, and I am. I'm going to. I'm not interested in buying a 360 right now. Not interested in buying a PS3. Only because the systems don't really blow my socks off. I mean, they have HD, but, you know, all things being equal, I don't see anything that is, like, really, really mind-blowing. And I would have... If we could wait for something like that instead of, you know, putting out a new console... You know,
Gears of War.
I understand business business-wise, okay, but, like... Just for competition-wise to introduce a new system and stuff, I think I could have waited. I think the PS3 should have been a better system than it is right now. And it should have.
Well, it's going to be that way come fall.
Anyway,
I think you'll see the PS3 come fall is going to have some titles that make people excited. So, I still think it's too early for everybody to say that PS3 is dead. I think it's the stupidest thing for people to
say. I'm not saying it's
dead.
No, not you.
I'm saying other people are saying that. But, that's neither here nor there. Should we move on, or is there anything else?
Yeah, moving on.
Okay, this is a comment from Evil Tab again, and this is just a comment. He's going crazy. I have no idea what the first part. Klaatu, Barada, and Necktie Nickel. Okay, that must be some sci-fi movie. The last question I sent in was about the rip-off sodas you can find at Albertsons or Walmart, which he calls Wallfuck. But thank you for the glorious response. Anyway, here's a question for everyone in the room. And if you guys don't remember, that was Mountain Thunder and Mountain Maze.
Yeah.
I was actually at a Walmart, and I did see Mountain Lightning.
Okay.
Here's a question for everyone in the room. A song you would love in Guitar Hero, but would probably never see the light of day unless it is a custom. Me, Cherry's Dance of Death by Chingao, which is Mexican slang for badass.
Wow.
What do you guys... I have... Because I'm ignorant to the genre, it's up to you guys. One song, quick, move on to the next question.
P.S., I think Alex needs a stalker.
Good one. But yeah, Tony, what one song would you like to see that might not make it? But
on Guitar Hero?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go, move on to Al. I'll think of
Okay.
Never see the light of day. Shoot. I mean, they put some crazy stuff on there. I think that, well, because Guitar Hero has the MTV license, it would have to be something real obscure. Like, I would say something from...
Javier Musica.
No, not from my band. Something from, like, Meshuggah, which would be totally difficult. That would be on past expert, the last level.
All right.
You know, that would be something on the lines of, like, Jordan, but worse.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, only because of the time signatures, the stuff like, you know, 2316s and stuff like that, it would be kind of easy to play the rhythm because it's always the same note over and over unless they chose one of the hard songs that would, like, be like, bam, 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 and it goes, and it's like, you know, trying to get the rhythm for that would be insane. And then you have the solo, which is mostly like finger tapping. That would be the hardest part of the song, pretty much. So I think it was something from like Meshuggah, one of those like Swedish bands, something like Nightwish. You wouldn't see those songs. They would never get night there, but they'd be awesome songs.
Right. Tony?
Test That Stumped Them All from Dream Theater. Let's see. Old Bodies Beneath the Buried in Me. And let's see.
Hey, one song.
Anything? Anyway, from Yngwie Malmsteen.
Oh, God, Yngwie. Okay. Next question from Andrew. Lord Andrew. Hi, this is Lord Andrew from GameSpot. What's up? On last week's TriCast, What's-His-Name said that Robbie Box shouldn't be hating on the Wii for its lack of DVD playing unless disc capacity is an issue or some shit like that. Disc capacity isn't an issue. The Wii uses DVDs for its games, which is... Yeah, that's right. He's right. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't play DVD video, but really, who needs that crap? Agreed. Also, I have a question for this week's guest. Sorry, man, you missed Alex again. If you could go to where On the Spot is hosted... No, he's just asking anybody a question. If you could go to where On the Spot is hosted and play against Alex Navarro at Guitar Hero, would you? I would. I'm sure Slunks would. I'm sure Adrian would. And I'm sure that Ben would and Al would. I mean, besides just playing against someone, it's just cool to have a free trip to go to San Francisco and be on internet TV. Anyway, pardon my poor English. I've been speaking it all my life. I just suck at it. That's what he says. Okay. Moving on. This is from L. Allen or I. Allen who said Rockstar. Rockstar was publishing Guitar Hero. I purposely put the wrong publisher for entertainment of other listeners.
You just got busted.
But I never knew.
Admit it.
But I never knew you would make me sound like an idiot. And Jack Tomhole is gay. You're right about the Jack Tomhole thing. We made you sound
Who's
like
Jack Tomhole.
We made you sound like an idiot because we make everyone sound like an idiot if they open themselves up to it. Hell, we make each other sound like idiots. Mm-hmm. I did respond to this guy, and I said we make everyone sound like idiots for fun. It's not anything personal, so...
Yeah, we love you.
Yeah, we love you. And moving on, from Jeremy, let's see, what does he say?
Jeremy spoken in class today.
Let you be a Guitar Hero! No. Hey guys, it was great that you had Navarro on your podcast. Much respect to him for taking out the time to do that. Dude's got class. I have to say, though, that it seems you guys were pretty nervous in the beginning. You didn't really flow as well. I don't think we were nervous. I'm just an idiot.
I was nervous.
You were? Oh, well, I was.
Yeah, only because I felt constrained. I didn't want to piss him off. you know, he's a great guy. He really is. But he's in a different league than,
yeah, because of his employer, he's not allowed to really lash out. So,
yeah, exactly. You know. So I felt really constrained, and I apologize.
No,
because,
you shouldn't, dude. That's all right.
Well, yeah, I sold my good. Audience short. My audience loves to hear me fly off the handle.
That'll do, Tony. That'll do.
Let's see. I also wanted to mention that it was pretty funny how Alex was mentioning how every developer goes through drama and challenges and how most people just aren't that interested in seeing all that in depth. Yet, GameSpot has its own show called In Development, which highlighted an independent studio through its trials and tribulations. So that's a pretty little bit of irony there. Whatever. Anyway, moving on. This is CJ_Hope33 on the GameSpot forums. I was going back and playing old NES games, and I came across A Boy and His Blob. It was a great game with great music, but it was fucking hard. Then I saw that they're making a sequel or remake or whatever for the DS. If you look at the screenshots for this game, it looks really doofy, and like they put their F team on it. Do you think this game is going to be any good, or is it just a case of raping your childhood again? Also, share your memories of a boy and his blob and how much you like jelly beans. Yeah.
I didn't play it.
Never played it either. Sorry, buddy, but it does look bad.
Yeah, I know that DS game looks absolutely horrible, but yeah. I'm hoping that that's like an April Fool's joke, which of course it's not.
Yeah.
I should, like, it'd be nice if they brought out a Boy in His Love for Virtual Console, because I would definitely get it.
Okay, next question from Teresa Sutter, who is a spammer. The subject is Bookworm Deluxe. We have tried to download this game and continue to have problems. We followed all support suggestions, and at this point, we would like for our purchase to be refunded. We would like a reply about this matter. Thanks, Teresa Sutter. Well, Teresa, you're an asshole and an idiot. You emailed the wrong website. Moving on.
Wait a minute. And actually downloaded a game, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mailbag. I bet you they mailed it to M-A-L-E back, too.
Yeah. She could find a full name, full game at mydick.com. Just go there, Teresa. You'll see my dick.
Okay. Here's a,
that was not good.
Here's a next question from David. Oh, this is weird. Okay, the subject is, dude, sweet! And here is the message.
Uh-huh.
Al, this is some guy who knows you. Al, it's David from Acclaim.
Holy crap, it's Ink.
Popped over to your website, which I should do more often, and I saw that you had a podcast. I had no idea. I listen to podcasts all day at work now. I'm gladly adding this one to my list. Looking forward to the future episodes. We really need to catch up soon, especially with the new Smash Bros. Coming. Drop me an email out. Okay, I'm not going to give his email out so people don't spam him. But yeah, you know this guy. That's
crap.
Great.
Yeah, we used to work Acclaim, and he actually went to – I think you were at that show. He went to the last show we played at Tarata.
Oh, yeah. I think I did see him.
Yeah, I got to – Damn, especially with the new Smash Brothers coming, because he was one of the guys we would play like for hours and hours and hours and hours and whoop each other's asses all night.
And hey, isn't it your duty as part of the website to talk to your friends about the site?
Yeah,
more.
It's just that it's hard to.
No, it's not. Email them. I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
Just email them. All right. Next question from Digimatrix. A couple of questions. Whatever happened to Heavy Rain? You know, the next gen game from the guys who did Indigo Prophecy. Will it be a breakup simulator? Lol. No, I don't think so. Heavy Rain, it looked like it was a tech demo. I don't know if it is actually supposed to be a game, but as all tech demos go, or as all these kind of in-depth projects go, it will probably take a while to surface, so patience. And no, I don't think it'll be a breakup simulator. Lol. Should violence in video games and moral decisions mature, like it does in the interactive cutscenes of Splinter Cell Double Agent? Or should it still play as juvenile as in Gears? Do we want a game that has a lot of moral problems, or would that be counterintuitive since people could never finish a game because of maybe taking the wrong path at a point? Well, I think the purpose of having games with moral dilemmas is that you can't have a wrong path. It's up to you to decide whether or not that's wrong. Like, if you have a moral dilemma and you take the quote-unquote wrong one, then that should just lead down to a different game result.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not understanding the question. But that's what I think about it.
He wants to get the Bible version of the end.
No. I think what he's saying is, like the game that I was telling you. Well, I don't know if I'm pretty sure I told you guys about it. The game idea I have where if you could go around and like kill people mercilessly, or you can be like. Justice and like, say you're playing a role of a cop,
right?
And you go like, around and you get thugs and stuff like that, and you have the option to either straight up kill them or to arrest them and stuff like that.
Like,
and then by
crime.
The end,
right like we heard you.
And by the end of the game, you either develop a serious bloodlust if you're kept on killing people, or you just develop a serious sense of justice, and you'd be able to either be very defensive or very offensive by the end of the game. If you just include moral
like
decisions. Of course. If you include this like with moral decisions, I guess
up,
it's like you would be able to throw yourself toward a better ending if you were to do things less immoral. But then he's saying, you know, that would be counterintuitive because people are always looking for the best. Like, for example, you get games with multiple endings and everybody wants to get the best ending, so it kind of makes a loss on the content for the other endings. Like, for example, if there's a game... I noticed there's a game that has that, where if you just do everything wrong, you get the most effed up ending.
Right, but you're still allowed to play the game to completion.
Right, you're still allowed to play the game to completion. Right. It's almost kind of like... it would be counterintuitive in the case of, like, Castlevania, where, you know, you kill Dracula, you kill some, and you don't use that item or whatever, and then it's like, oh my god, we have to get out of the castle, it's blowing up, but we didn't finish! Oh, well, we have to go anyway. The end.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think there's a room for both games. I mean, I don't think that they should tend sway towards one or the other. They should just keep putting them out as they are. Have some games do that and some games not. I mean, it's simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel, too.
Yeah. And last question, unless, Tony, you had a remark on that?
No.
Okay. No! Last question real quick, but it's a long one.
Oh, boy.
This is from Riven again. Hey, guys, I missed not having you around last week, but it's okay. I had other podcasts to keep me warm at night. Ooh.
Cheater.
I did have a real good question all planned out for you, but it requires referencing something that I do not have currently. So I'll just ask something else. Okay, he just goes on about how he's writing his question. Okay, here's a quick question so I don't have any time left. Okay. What the hell is wrong with you, Riven? Just type a question.
One question, 27 parts.
Everyone always asks you guys about the video games. What's some of y'all's favorite movies?
Huh?
I think we talked about this. We talked about Us episode.
Yeah. Go listen to episode 45. you, meaning Austin, mentioned possibly talking about genres that should die and others that should resurge, which we actually skipped for this week because we're short on time. It is of my humbled and biased opinion that these are the things that should die. These are actually more of mechanics in games and are starting to define a particular game genre rather than the game genre as a whole. First and foremost, so he's saying not genres, but gameplay mechanics. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
First and foremost are the quick time events in action games. While I enjoyed games such as Dragon's Lair and Space Quest as much as the next guy, back in the day, insert air quotes, that time has long since been over. Those games were good because it was the simplest way to have an interactive cinematic experience based on the limitations of player input. True. We've long since evolved to 10 digital buttons, 2 analog sticks, and 2 analog triggers, and Wiimotes, which he doesn't mention. Not to mention that in those older games, you were not shown a giant representation of which button you should press, but had to rely on swift and subtle hints in the cinematic itself, as well as pure instinct. So I guess Resident Evil started that, and then started bringing that back again after Shenmue, and then God of War 2, and then God of War did it, and then, like, fucking, what's it called, Heavenly Swords is doing it again, and I'm kind of getting sick of that. Spider-Man 3 does it, too.
Oh, boy. I think it's good in spurts. Like, I liked Shenmue because it had that combination. It had all the different elements. You know, you would have a part where you're running away from somebody, and then it would flash, like, the B button, and then you'd have to press B to, like, duck under some log that's rolling across, you know. And then you'd, like, press left, and you have to turn left. If you don't press left, then you turn right, and then you go through a whole nother section, but it may take longer, and you may wind up ending up somewhere different. And then after that, you wind up doing Virtua Fighter.
What I like about it is that it breaks up, like, if you're talking about a cinematic cutscene, you can't just put the controller down. That's what I like about it. What I don't like about it is when they start peppering it everywhere. Resident Evil 4 did it kind of, like, in an appropriate way. Like, they had cutscenes that you could play with. God of War does it in a different way, where it's more of a reflexive thing, where, like, you kill the bad guy and he's stunned, and then you have to do a button combination.
Right.
But, like, there are other, like, the more and more games are coming out where they, like, I don't know. It's like the things that could have been done in a gameplay setting that they choose to not. Right? Like, Heavenly Sword, I saw a demo video of it where she's sliding down a rope and it's about to snap, so you have to jump to another side of the rope. Well, why couldn't you just press left on the analog stick and press X and when you had to jump instead of having the on-screen thing say, hey, press X now, and you can't do anything else. You know what I mean? Like, why can't you decide to, like, I don't know, do a double jump, and if an enemy's coming at you, like, jump off his head or something. But no, they can't do that because it's a cinematic that they want you to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a kind of flash in the pan thing. I admit it was cool when it first came out, but now I'm kind of like, eh.
So, I understand, yeah. It's that's kind of just putting it there for the sake of not having a cinematic that you just have to sit and watch.
Someone else on another podcast, I think it was a One Up Yours, said basically it was a way for them to design a game without having to design. Which speaks volumes as to how lazy people are getting, but whatever. Tony, thoughts?
Thoughts? Nope.
Okay, I think that's it for this episode. Housekeeping as usual, listen to Gamers Lounge, look for it on iTunes, listen to, what's it called, Game Slaves Radio, look for that on iTunes, and
Game Slaves.
We have 2 more entrants into the Pirates versus Ninjas contest, miraculously, so I think we're up to, like, we're up to, like, 13 or 14 or so, there is hope, please, guys, please, enter,
Excelente.
Enter, you want $50, I know it.
$50.
For Alfredo.
Yeah.
For Tony.
Yeah.
And for Ethan, who is taking a dump right now,
bangin' a Jew.
I have been your host, Chupon Mister, and we're out of cocky cool cocky. You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some neck up on it. While I stand up in the
hey, don't talk about that. I got caught.